How you doing today?
I'm doing good, you?
Okay. So we're here on Chof Ches on the days, and you'll see a Tosus Dibra Maskel in Cain. And then below that, you'll see a Tosus for Chad, and then below that, Tosus Machmas Dover Acher. So that's where we're up to in the Tosus Machmas Dover Acher. Omar Mar. So we quoted before a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about whether chometz is osur midoraisa before Pesach and after Pesach. And the Gemara now wants to get into more details analyzing this machlokas. So Omar Mar, we had the braisa before. Uminayin li ochel chometz mishe shosu lamalo shu over below sasa. So we're talking about Rav Yehuda's shita that chometz is also midoraisa with a lav on erev Pesach from she shosu lamalo. And here the phrase she shosu lamalo refers to the end of the sixth hour, the beginning of the seventh hour. How do we know that you violate a los aser if you eat chametz on erev Pesach from chatzos? Shenemar, because the pasuk says lo sochal olav chametz. This is a pasuk later on in Dvarim, the Perek Tes Zayin. And Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, this we saw yesterday, says that the word olav refers to the shchitas korban Pesach, not to the achilas korban Pesach. And if olav refers to the shchitas korban Pesach, then we're talking about chatzos v'eilech. At that point, you can shech the korban Pesach. And if you look, for example, in Rashi, let's see if I can find you. Oh, Rashi's not here; it's elsewhere. But Rashi says that when it says shas shchitas korban Pesach, it means from the moment that the sun starts tilting towards the west. So if you had, let's say, a wall that was absolutely vertical, so as soon as you see the shadow on the other side of the wall, you know you've passed Chatzos Hayom, that the sun has reached its pinnacle and now it's tilting towards the west. And that's the moment in which you can shech the Korban Pesach. And the Torah says also Chalol of Chometz, that from the time of the Shechitas Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, from that moment and on, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Hence, we have an Isur Doraisa of eating chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amalo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says the following: V'chi efshel lomar kein? Can you really maintain that position? Balokvar nemar. So now we have a hekesh in the pasuk. And where is the hekesh? This hekesh is also in the same chapter in Dvarim, Tes Zayin. And there, in the same pasuk that the Torah says lo sochal olav chametz, it says shivas yomim tochal olav matzos. And this is what's called a hekesh. A hekesh means when the Torah equates two dinim. Here in the same pasuk, the Torah speaks about the isur achilas chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah. And we have now a hekesh that tells me that the isur chametz is going to be equated to the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Now the mitzvah of achilas matzah begins at night. There's no mitzvah of achilas matzah on erev Pesach, but rather with the inception of Pesach. And so to the isur of achilas chametz will only apply at night when there's a mitzvah of matzah. Now keep in mind, as we go through this Gemara, that the hekesh, you know, hekesh is A and B. In this case, if you want to know what A teaches you about B, the A would be the mitzvah of matzah, and B would be the Isra Achilas Chametz. In other words, there's a Malamed and a Nilmad. The Malamed is going to be the mitzvah of matzah, which is going to commence with nightfall on the 15th of Nisan. And the Nilmad is going to be Lo Sochel of Chametz, the Isra of Achilas Chametz. And the inception of that Isra Achilas Chametz is going to be equated with matzah. So matzah is teaching you something about Chametz. Later on, we'll see if we can take this Hekesh and go in the opposite direction. And the Isra Chametz is going to teach you something about Achilas Matzah. That's what we're going to get to later on. So all this is the presentation of Rav Shimon in his counter-argument against Rav Yehuda. Let's go over it one more time. According to Rav Yehuda, the Torah is telling me that from the time of Shechitas HaPesach, you're not allowed to eat Chametz. That means from midday on the 15th, there's an Isa Doraisa with a lav of Achilas Chametz. And Rav Shimon says, no, it can't be that the word Olav here is referring to the Shechitas HaPesach. It's rather referring to the Achilas HaPesach, which is at night. And I'll prove it to you, because the Torah in the same breath tells you don't eat Chametz, but eat matzah. And the mitzvah of eating matzah only begins with light, with Lila, with nightfall. So too the Isra Achilas Chametz, by virtue of this Hekesh, only begins with nightfall. And that's the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. I don't think that we can make a determination who's right. Each one has a certain power to his argument. On the one hand, it does seem that the Torah, when it prohibits Chametz, does connect it to the Korban Pesach. But the question is, what element of the Korban Pesach? Is it the Shechita of the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach? Or is it the Achila of Korban Pesach on the night of Pesach? And Rav Shimon's going to tip the scale in favor of the Achilas HaPesach at Lila, and he's going to say the Chametz is only, the Isra Achilas Chametz only commences with Lila because of the equation to the mitzvah of matzah. Now, it's very interesting because Rabbi Yehuda, in a sense, is left out in the cold here. What do I mean? He's in the lurch, if you follow me. He doesn't derive anything from this equation between Chametz and Matzah. That's going to be the next sugya in the Gemara, but I'm just giving you a slight preview of coming attractions. How could Rabbi Yehuda be completely ignorant, or how can he ignore the Hekesh between Matzah and Chametz, which clearly indicates that the time for the Isra Chametz is bound by the time for the Isra, for the mitzvah of matzah, and we know the time for matzah begins at night and incorporates the 7 days of Pesach, but it doesn't begin in the day. So Rabbi Yehuda is sort of left with a Hekesh that's meaningless, if you follow me. We don't seem to derive anything from this Hekesh, and that's what the Gemara is going to object now to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no, that the Hekesh is indicative of a perfect overlap or alignment in the Zman Matzah and the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz, and they both begin at night. You'll ask me, but it says Lo Sochal Olav Chametz, which Olav refers to the Korban Pesach. Yeah, that refers to the Achilas Korban Pesach, which is Balayla Hu. Now, by the way, it's very interesting to me to note that the mitzvah of matzah is really only a mitzvah when? Only on the first night. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both are reading this pasuk, and it says Shivas Yomim Tochal of Matzahs, and they're assuming a hekesh between the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah and the Isra of Chametz. Well, if you're going to take that literally, it's a little bit of a problem, because there really is no mitzvah of Achilas Matzah for the 7 days. So Rashi is going to have a long discussion. I don't know if you see this Rashi, Dibri Amasil Ksiv Bahai. So Rashi has a long piece on this discussion. But now the Gemara is going to ask the following question. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with this Hekesh? Rabbi Yehuda Shapir Kamalei Rav Shimon. It seems that Rav Shimon has the upper hand over here, because the Torah does equate matzah with chametz, and therefore the Isra chametz should be only during Pesach itself, because it's equated to the mitzvah of matzah, which is only during Pesach itself. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yehuda says this Hekesh is coming to tell you something not about chametz, but about matzah. So you remember we set up A is the melamed and B is the nilman. A is matzah, which teaches you something about chametz. And it limits and restricts the isur chametz to the days of Pesach, meaning to Laila, not Erev Pesach, but with the inception of Pesach. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, Nay, why do you assume that the Hekish goes in that direction and matzah is going to teach you something about chametz? Let's go the other way around. Let's say that chametz is teaching you something about matzah. And what is that? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, Ahu Lekova Chova Afilu Bizman Azehu Diyasa. We need to know, this is pretty mind-boggling, that even after the Churban Abayis, thank you so much, Don, even after the Churban Abayis, see, I don't know if I could use a Kohen as a Meshoer. You know, the Levium are the ones who are charged at the gates, but okay.
It's a mitzvah.
Yeah. It's not in the Beis HaMikdash, so we're allowing it with being Mekim. Now, Rabosai, would you please tell me why Rabbi Yehuda Zahava Mina that there's no mitzvah of matzah after Churban Abayis? I mean, matzah is not a mitzvah that depends upon the Beis HaMikdash. We eat matzah all over the world. And if we land a spaceship on the moon, we'd eat matzah on the moon. Why do we think that since the destruction of the Mikdash, there's no mitzvah of matzah? Excellent, beautiful. Because the Torah says, Al matzah sumarorim yochluhu. And the Torah seems to sandwich the mitzvah of matzah together with the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So calls by the Mikdash is Kayom. I have a mitzvah of matzah. But now that it's after Churban, so Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah itself went out of its way to teach us that that the mitzvah of matzah applies even in the absence of a Korban Pesach. The Torah itself was aware and was concerned about the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and therefore the Gemara says that we need a hekesh between matzah and chametz. And what does this mean? The Torah says lo sochel all of chametz shivas yom tochel of matzah. Lo sochel of chametz means that you're not allowed to eat chametz. The isur achilas chametz has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and that isur will certainly apply even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And now we have an equation in which chametz, by virtue of the second, is going to teach you something about matzah. That just like chametz applies as an isur chametz after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so to the mitzvah of matzah applies even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And don't think that matzah is totally dependent upon Pesach. And if we don't have the Churban Pesach, we don't have matzah. No. Matzah is determined by chametz, and whenever there's an isur chametz, then ipso facto there's going to be a mitzvah of matzah. And the isur of chametz has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the mitzvah of matzah applies even after Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Isn't one of the names of the chag matzah? I went to a shiur where they talked about that it's actually two or three different names and which relate to two or three different mitzvot.
Yeah, but Don, you call it Chag HaMatzos because the Beis HaMikdash is dead. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have to change the name. Because the Torah says, Al Matzos Umro Yochlu, which means you eat the Korban Pesach and the Matzah Namor. So if you don't have the Korban Pesach, you don't have Matzah Namor. So Rabbi Yehuda needs a Hekesh, in which the same Pasuk talks about Chametz and talks about Matzah, to teach you that just like Chametz is an Issa that applies with or without the Beis HaMikdash, so to the mitzvah of matzah applies with or without a Beis HaMikdash. So it turns out that matzah really lends itself to two different mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah together with the Korban Pesach, we'll call it a sandwich, and the other mitzvah is matzah is an independent mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And that independent mitzvah applies even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and even in the absence of a Korban Pesach. And for that, Rabbi Yehuda needs a Hekesh. But keep in mind that Rabbi Yehuda's Hekesh is radically different than the Hekesh of Rabbi Shimon. The Hekesh of Rabbi Shimon is going to have matzah teaching you something about chametz. Namely, that chametz is not also an Erev Pesach, but it's only also on the night of Pesach with the Iser of, with the mitzvah of matzah. So then matzah teaches you chametz. And Rabbi Yehuda reverses the order. And chametz is going to teach you something about matzah, just like chametz applies even in the absence of the Korban Pesach. So too matzah applies even in the absence of Korban Pesach. And the Havamina here was to say that since the Torah integrates matzah with Pesach, if there's no Pesach, there's no matzah. And for that we need a Hekish. Now we have a principle called Ein Hekish Lemechtza. And that principle is derived in the Gemara in Krisus, and it means that a Hekish is always like a two-way street, which means that A teaches B and B teaches A. And we actually recently, back on Daf Chof Hey, not long ago, we had an example of a two-way Hekish. You may recall that the Torah equates Gili Arayis with Ritzicha. And the Torah says in the case of a woman, a married woman who had this relationship, that it's like the case of Ritzicha. And the Gemara says that in that Hekish, we derive in both directions. Gili Arayis is going to teach me something about Ritzicha, and Ritzicha is going to teach me something about Gili Arayis. Ritzicha teaches me about Gili Arayis that there's a case called Karka Olam, which means a woman who is totally passive. And Gili Arayis is going to teach me something about Rotzeach, and that's the din of Rodef. That just like in a case where we derive in Gili Arayis, Ein Moshila, that if somebody is running after a woman, then you can kill that person if need be. So too, if somebody's running to kill someone, if there's no other way out, you have to kill him. You have to kill him. So that's an application of the principle of Ein Hekish Lemechtza. Here in our Gemara, it seems that the Gemara is operating with a whole different set of regulations. Namely, that the Hekish can go in one direction and not in the other. And which direction does it go? That's Machlokes from Yudim Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon takes matzah and he teaches you something about chametz, and he restricts the zman isu chametz. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, takes chametz and teaches you something about matzah to expand the mitzvah of matzah to apply even in the absence of Pesach, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So on this you have a long discussion here in the Tzlach. You know, I always like to mention that the Tzlach is more famous for his work called the Noda B'Yehuda. His name was Landau. And if you meet anybody with the last name Landau, chances are very good that he's related to the Noda B'Yehuda. And he wrote a book of Chidushim on Shas, on various Masechtas, which is called the Tzlach. Does anybody know what Tzlach stands for? It's an acronym, it's a Rashi Tevis. Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya. Now Tzion really means when you want to make a memory of somebody who died. And who died? Chaya died. Who was Chaya? Chaya was the Noda B'Yehuda's mother. So it's so interesting that he named the book after his mother. You know, most people name the book after their father. You know, this is pre-so-and-so. But here he named the book after his mother. And he says that even though usually when we have a Hekish, we equate both dinim and they go in both directions. Yesh lakisham b'chol dover is me'achar v'hukash din achilas matzah l'achilas chometz l'gabi chiyu v'zman. And now that we've derived from chometz that matzah applies even without the beis hamikdash, hayilo lakisham afligabi zman isurim. Let's go the other way around, the way Reb Shimon has it. And we should equate them as far as the Zman Isur. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda should be moda that there's no Isur Chametz Kodem Zmano, meaning on Erev Pesach. The Eish Lover says that Tzlach. The Ein Shayach Kan HaKlal Shal Ein Hekish Lemechtza. In this context, we don't apply the principle of it's got to be a two-way street. Ein Hekish Lemechtza. Mishum, to Legabi Chiyuv has Bezman Azeh. With regard to Rabbi Yehuda's Hekesh, which means that matzah applies as a chiyuv even after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, lamadnu me'ahekesh achilas matzah me'achilas me'isur chametz. So we're going to derive the mitzvah of matzah from the isur of chametz. Ve'ilu legabe tchilas mana isu yesh lumod isur chametz me'achilas matzah. V'klal dein hekesh lemechtza hu rak oso ofen. In other words, if you're deriving the chumras ha'isur or the kulas ha'isur, then you could go in both directions. But if one is going lekula, one is going lechumra, meaning if the hekesh is going in one direction to tell you lekula that there's no isur chametz on erev Pesach, that's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. and the other is coming l'chumer to tell you that the mitzvah of matzah should apply even after churban abayis, well, then you're using it in two different directions. We don't apply ein hekish l'matzah. Okay, we would really have to study this tzlach inside. I'm just mentioning it to you because it's a very relevant issue in terms of reconciling this gemara with the principle of Shas that ain hekesh lemechtz, ain hekesh lemechtz. Yeah. So now we have a problem. Now, in a sense, the ball is in Reb Shimon's court. Why? Because Reb Shimon uses this hekesh to whittle down, narrow down the scope of the zman for the Yisur Chametz and exclude Erev Pesach. That's what this hekesh is teaching me. But Mela, Reb Shimon does not have the hekesh to expand the mitzvah of matzah to include even bizman hazeh, even after the churban. Do you follow? Reb Yehuda needs the hekesh in order lafuki to exclude the hava, meaning that maybe since the Torah says al matzah sumrom yochlu and the mitzvah to eat the matzah together with the Karban Pesach, that Bizman is that we don't have the mitzvah of matzah. Well, how does Reb Shimon know that? Because Reb Shimon doesn't have the luxury of deriving that halacha, because he needs the hekesh in order to prove that just like the mitzvah of matzah only applies with the inception of the chag, so to the Isur Chametz only applies at night. So how do we derive, according to Reb Shimon, the halacha that matzah applies as a mitzvah of Bizman Hazeh? So Reb Shimon lekova chova minoloi. How does Reb Shimon know that there's a chova to eat matzah even Bizman Hazeh in the absence of the Karban Pesach? He doesn't have the luxury of using the hekesh to teach us that, because he used up the hekesh to teach me that the Isur Chametz only begins balayla. Nafkalei, he derives it from another pasuk in Parshas Bo. Ba'erev tochlu matzos. In other words, the Torah commands us to eat matzah in two different contexts, in two different psukim. In one pasuk, the Torah says, al matzos umarorim yochluhu. And that's pasuk ches. And then the Torah, in pasuk yud ches, meaning 10 psukim later, says, ba'erev tochlu matzos. In that pasuk, ba'erev tochlu matzos, what is the Torah omit? The Karban Pesach. There's no mention of the Karban Pesach. Says Reb Shimon, there are two mitzvahs of matzah. There's one mitzvah of matzah, which is codified by the pasuk al matzahs of Rom Yochlu, and it's part and parcel of and contingent upon the mitzvah of achilas Karban Pesach. Then there's another independent mitzvah of matzah that's derived from the pasuk for erev tochlu matzahs. Here, the Torah doesn't say a word about the Karban Pesach, clearly establishing an independent mitzvah. Not the mitzvah of matzah sumrom yochlu to eat the matzah together with the Karban Pesach, but the mitzvah of erev tochlu matzahs as a separate mitzvah vis-a-vis the matzah to eat the matzah. And therefore I don't need another pasuk or a hekesh in this case to teach me that even after churban abayis without a Karban Pesach I still have a mitzvah of matzah that I derive from the pasuk erev tochlu matzahs. And now we're going to have to turn the ball the other way in the review of this court. Why did the Torah have to say Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos? Or alternatively, once the Torah said Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos, why do I need some sort of a hekesh to teach me that even Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaya, even Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kaya, there still is a mitzvah of what? Of Achilas Matzah. Why not derive from Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos? Meaning the logic of Rabbi Shimon is very compelling. Rabbi Shimon has a pasuk Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. Nowhere in that context does the Torah mention the Karban Pesach. And therefore, the mitzvah of Matzah is independent of the Karban Pesach. So why did Rabbi Yehuda need a hekesh to derive the conclusion that the mitzvah of Matzah is independent of the Karban Pesach and applies even Bizman Hazeh? After all, you could derive it from the pasuk Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. Do you see the structure of the sugya? You know, Reb Shimon has this, and then Reb Yehuda has to do. You know, it goes back and forth. It's a continuous dialogue. But Rabosai, what I do want to just comment on here is that there's a fascinating breakthrough here in this Gemara at the point that we got to in Reb Shimon, and Reb Yehuda is not going to disagree with this, that there are two independent mitzvahs of matzah. There's a mitzvah of matzah that's integrated into the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and there's another mitzvah of matzah that is dependent upon, that is independent of Karban Pesach. One is derived from Al Matzah Sumrom Yochluhu, and the other is derived from Erev Tochlu Matzahs. And I'm thinking out loud, there could be a nafkamina between the two mitzvahs. Well, the first nafkamina is obvious, that in the first mitzvah of Al Matzah Sumrom Yochluhu, you must have the Karban Pesach. Whereas in the second mitzvah of Tochlu Matzahs, even in the absence of Karban Pesach. But perhaps we can take it even a step further. What is the Ikar Mitzvah of Al Matzah Umrom Yochlu? I'll give you three choices, A, B, or C. Is it the Pesach? Is it the Matzah? Is it the Marah? And what's the answer, Mitch? What would you say?
I'd say Pesach.
Correct, the Karban Pesach, because the Torah is telling you how to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach. And the Torah is asking you to add along, sort of like a tag along, and sandwich into the Achilas HaPesach the Matzah and the Marah. There's a great machlokas tanoim as to whether you eat them all in one bite as a sandwich, or you should eat them all one after the other. But be that as it may, the Ikar Mitzvah is the Karban Pesach. The Melech begin to understand the concept of the afikomen, which is eaten at the end of the meal. Why? After all, we already ate the matzah at the beginning of the meal. So why am I eating another matzah at the end of the meal? That matzah, the second matzah, perhaps replaces what? The last matzah, the Karban Pesach. Oh, so the Karban Pesach now becomes the Ikar Mitzvah. Now, with regard to the achil of Karban Pesach, the Gemara is going to establish later on in the Masechta Pesachim that mitzvah requires to eat the Karban Pesach al hasova. Al hasova means it should be the last thing that you eat. And therefore the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Pesachim says, Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen, which means that you don't eat anything after the afikomen. At least no solids. You know, you might drink a little bit of wine, but you don't eat any solids. Where does that come from? The answer is that comes from the Karban Pesach. Okay, fine. Now we don't have a Karban Pesach until the Mikdash will be built. So in the absence of a Karban Pesach, what do we do? Do we have this halacha of al-asova that you should, you know, that the Karban Pesach is the last thing that you eat, but that doesn't have to apply to matzah? So the answer now is that the matzah becomes the ikar. What do I mean the ikar? Normally, if the Beis HaMikdash was kayam, the mitzvah would be, what would be your ikar mitzvah? It would be the Karban Pesach. And then the matzah and the marah comes together with the Karban Pesach. Now that the afikomen is, after the Mikdash is destroyed, the afikomen replaces the Karban Pesach. Now matzah becomes the ikar mitzvah. Once it's the ikar mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat anything afterwards. You have to have tam mitzvah b'fiv. In this case, it's tam matzah b'fiv. And why? Because the matzah replaces the Karban Pesach. I'll give you another question. In the mitzvah of matzah sumrorim yochlu, do I have to eat a full kezias worth of matzah? I'm not sure. If there's an independent mitzvah of matzah, then of course you have to eat what? A kezayis, because ain achilu pachas mi kezayis. But if the matzah is not the ikar mitzvah, it's only the tofel, so I have to eat a kezayis of Karban Pesach. I'm not sure if I have to eat a kezayis of matzah, or for that matter, kezayis of mora. Bizman is that we're going to have to be makpid on a kezayis of mora, because mora bizman is that became an independent mitzvah. And it replaces the mora that was only a nachshlep, that was only a secondary mitzvah at the time of the Karban Pesach. Here's another question I want to ask you. The Torah says, "Ushmartem es hamatzos." What do we derive from that pasuk? You need what's called matzas mitzvah, meaning the matzah has to be baked l'shem mitzvah. That's called shmir l'shem mitzvah. That's a sugya later on in the lamets that we'll get to, believe me. Not far away from us. Maybe we'll hit it before Pesach. I don't know. Now, that's what we call Shmura Matzah. Shmura Matzah means that it was designated for the mitzvah of matzah. And you have to have kavana le mitzvah's matzah. Hence the very famous controversy historically about machine matzah. You know, is there kavana l'shem mitzvah? I mean, after all, the machine is baking the matzahs. But maybe when you press the button and you activate the machinery, the automation, maybe that's enough to be considered that your kavana will make it l'shem mitzvah. What about for the Korban Pesach? This, the Torah says, al matzah s'mrov yochlu. Eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and morah. Does it have to be matzah's mitzvah, which was baked l'shma for the purpose of the mitzvah? And if you do require l'shma, what is it going to be? L'shem mitzvah's Pesach? That's pretty odd. You bake matzah for the purpose of the mitzvah of Pesach. More logical would be that any matzah would be good for the mitzvah of matzah sumerom yochlu, because they're the mitzvahs, the Korban Pesach. Just the Korban Pesach has to be accompanied by the matzah. But when it gets to the pasuk of Be'erev Tov L'Matzahs, that's already a whole different story. There, matzah emerges as the ikar mitzvah, and here the Torah says, "Ushmartim es ha-matzahs," that which matzah is suitable for the mitzvah of matzah, it's only matzah that was baked l'shem matzah. That's ushmartim es ha-matzahs, you need l'shma. You know, it's very interesting because with regard to the mitzvah of Be'erev Tov L'Matzahs, you could argue that you have to eat the matzah without any other mixtures, or any other accompaniments. You can't eat the matzah, like for example, we eat matzah and morah as a sandwich. So why not say, well, if you're eating matzah and morah as a sandwich, you don't need to eat matzah alone. Our minhag is that we eat matzah and then we make a korach. Why can't we just kill two birds with one stone? Let's do straight away the korach. We'll be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of morah, all with one sandwich, one achila. But the answer is, because Be'erev Tov L'Matzahs means that matzah becomes the primary mitzvah. And when you have a primary mitzvah, you don't add to it something that's not a mitzvah. You know, to eat a matzah together with a pickle in one, pickle might be gebrochs, I don't know, but you know, if you eat a pickle, so you can't tell me you're eating matzah. You're eating matzah and a pickle. So that pickle is called a dvar reshus, and a dvar reshus is mevatel the mitzvah. In the case of Korech, once you add the morah into the equation, then morah becomes a dvar reshus, because morah bizman is says only derabbanon. That's like a dvar reshus in comparison to matzah, which is d'oraisa. And therefore, the sandwich would only work for a zecher l'migdash kehillel, you know, to remind us of al matzah sumerom yochlu. But it certainly would not be a valid candidate for the kiyum of Be'erev Tov L'Matzahs. And finally, one last nafkamina: can I eat the matzah before it gets dark? I would say the following, it depends. If the matzah is an accompaniment to the Pesach, well there the Torah says, V'ochlus avosu balayla hazeh. Balayla means it's got to be dark out. But when it says, Ba'erev toklu matzahs, that doesn't mean that you necessarily need darkness. So if I was makabel tosefes yontif, and it's still light out, it could be that would be sufficient for the mitzvah of Be'erev toklu matzahs. Later on we're going to see, not in this parak, but in another parak, that there's a hekesh between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. That just like the mitzvah of Korban Pesach requires laila, so too the mitzvah of matzah requires laila. But if not for that special hekesh, I would have said the mitzvah of matzah is Be'erev. Whatever is Erev. Okay. So now we have the following problem. If, according to Rabbi Shimon, the pasuk Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs already establishes that what? That there's an independent mitzvah of matzah that would apply even in the absence of the Korban Pesach. So why does Rabbi Yehuda require both Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs and the Hekesh? We had a Hekesh to Chametz that teaches me that just like Chametz applies even in the absence of Korban Pesach after the Mikdash is destroyed, so to matzah is a separate independent mitzvah independent of Korban Pesach and applies even after the Churban. Well, why can't I just derive that from Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, mi boile litame vishahayar du derech rechoka. Here's the question. There are categories of individuals. We'll see four categories. Now, right now we're studying two. We'll soon see another two. that are exempt from the Korban Pesach. So again, we're talking at the time the Mikdash is standing, and yet these two categories of individuals are exempt from Korban Pesach. Who are they? Number one is a Tomei. He already contracted Tumah. Let's say, for example, he was in an Olam Mes. He cannot bring the Korban Pesach. And number two, a person who's Bederech Rechoka. He's far away from the Beis HaMikdash. So he too cannot participate in the Hakrovas HaPesach. What's the deal in these two cases of people who are not included in Korban Pesach as far as the mitzvah of matzah is concerned? Salkit, I might think, Hoil Upe Pesach, Lo Yochal. Since he's not going to participate in the Achil of the Korban Pesach, he's Tomei or he's Bederech Rechoka, is Matzo Mara Nami Lo Nechal. Likewise, he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzo Mara, because the Torah says, Al Matzo Sumerorim Yochluhu Kamash Belon. So we need the pasuk by Erev Tochlu Matzos to teach me that even a Tomei and a Dehoya Bederech Rechoka is chayv to eat matzah. Rabos, I don't understand. Torah Yivalumon and Yitzchok, if somebody could explain to me. Rabbi Yehuda just derived from the Hekesh that there's a mitzvah of matzah mizman hazeh. Doesn't that prove that matzah is independent of Korban Pesach? So why does he need a pasuk by Erev Tochlu Matzos to teach me that Hayav Tomei or Hayav Bederech Rechoka is not that he's included in the mitzvah of matzah? For sure he's included in matzah, because we've already established that the mitzvah of matzah is independent of the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Does anybody hear my question? I'm looking right at the blank stare.
But he could have brought a Korban Pesach, but he wasn't able to, so then does he still have the
excellent
matzah, where the other one, right, you don't have that?
Excellent.
So the
beautiful
question is,
ability.
Is it, I think the question is, is he
mafke
from the mitzvah, or is
he doche
the mitzvah?
In other words, because,
that's what we're talking about, Pesach Sheni. This is the, so the question is, when you're doing Pesach Sheni, is because when you do the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, is that because you just, when you could do...
Well, I'm just curious, Sasha, what brought you to Pesach Sheni? Did Rashi mention, you're just thinking out of the box.
Because
I don't know the dinim of Hayu Bederech Rechoka. I mean, Tomei is... Yeah, okay, fine.
Bederech Rechoka is... I actually brought it up was Avelis, because I was learning Avelis.
Oh, I see.
The same thing in terms of what's Nitha not... Relative to that. Okay,
So wait, Asher, let me just try, first of all, to take Steve's idea and see if I can formulate it. You'll tell me, Steve, if this is what you had in mind. Rabbi Yehuda is addressing two issues about the independence of matzah, independent of Korban Pesach. One is an issue of zman, and one is an issue of defining a gavra as a bar chiyuva. As far as the issue of zman is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda says, I must establish that the mitzvah of matzah is an independent mitzvah. And therefore the zman, which the Torah, the time framework the Torah has in mind for the mitzvah of matzah, is not dependent upon the time for the framework, the time framework for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. We have two different time frameworks. We have zman, mitzvah sa Pesach, and we have zman, mitzvah of matzah without Pesach. And now I have to establish that there is such a thing as a zman haroi l'chiyuv matzah, a zman that generates a mitzvah of matzah, even if that same zman cannot generate a chiyuv of Korban Pesach. So after the Churban Habayis, is that zman included in the machayev of matzah? Well, one could ostensibly argue that since that zman has changed and you no longer have the mitzvah of Pesach, the zman itself inherently doesn't generate a chiyuv of matzah. For that he needs the hekesh. Now he has a different question. The question is, you have the zman of achilas Pesach. Now ask yourself, who's chayuv? Who's chayuv in Pesach? And then who's chayuv in matzah? If I assume that these two mitzvahs are interdependent, then I'm going to say that the gavra who's chayav in Pesach is chayav in matzah, and the gavra who's exempt from Pesach is exempt from matzah. The fact that there is such an entity of a zman, all right, that's a different zman. A different zman, that zman is machayav in matzah. as an independent mitzvah. But how do I know that when the Zman is the Zman of Pesach, the Torah didn't combine and create an interdependence of Matzah and Pesach? Meaning, his mitzvah now is the mitzvah of Al Matzah Sumrom Yochlu. The fact that Ba'er Tochlu Matzah might establish a different, right? So let's go back to the beginning again. On the one end, I have the Hekesh to Chometz to teach me that there is such thing as a Zman, which although the Zman is excluded from Pesach, it nevertheless generates a Chiyuv of Matzah. That's true. But that's only because the Hekesh is teaching me something about a new Zman. And that Zman is Mechayev Pesach. But Be'erev Tochlu Matzah, says Rabbi Yehuda, I need for another reason. I need that for the Zman where there's a Mechayev of Pesach, namely the Mikdash is standing. And in that Zman, frame of reference, I don't know that Matzah is an independent mitzvah. Now that you have a Chiyuv of Pesach, maybe the Torah makes the Pasuk of Al Matzah Merok Yochlu teach us that the matzah depends upon the Korban Pesach. Before, meaning if I'm obligated, I'm bringing the Korban Pesach, I now become obligated to eat matzah. But if I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach because I'm a Tomei, or I'm a Bederek Rechoka, then I don't have the mitzvah of matzah. Yeah, it's true. There is such a thing as a Zman of matzah without Pesach. But we're not in that Zman. We're in the Zman of Pesach. And now the Torah is telling you, bring the Pesach and eat the matzah together with the Korban Pesach. Is there an independent mitzvah of matzah while the mitzvah of Pesach is relevant, whether it's alive and well, it's activated? And the answer is, for that I need the pasuk Be'erev Tochlu Matzah. So there are two different dinim here, and Rabbi Yehuda has to derive both of them from different sources. But again, now the ball is back in the court of Rabbi Shimon. How does Rabbi Shimon know that during the period of time when there is a mitzvah of Pesach, that the mitzvah of Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah are still, you know, that although they overlap, but they also have, you know, matzah as an independence. How do I know that the pasuk Be'erev Tochlu Matzah is because Rabbi Shimon uses Be'erev Tochlu Matzah to derive what Rabbi Yehuda derived from the Hekesh, namely that there's a period of time where after the Churban you have no mitzvah of what? Of Pesach, but nevertheless you still have a chiyuv of Be'erev Tochlu Matzah as an independent. That's as far as the Zman is concerned. But how does Rabbi Shimon know that if within the framework of the Zman of Pesach that matzah emerges as an independent mitzvah? After all, he uses Be'erev Tochlu Matzah to teach you the din of Zman. How could he teach you the din of independence when there is a Zman Pesach? So the Gemara answers, V'Rabbi Shimon, I don't need to establish an independent mitzvah of matzah for a person who cannot bring the Korban Pesach because either he's A, Tomei, or B, he's Bederech Rechoka. Because as we said before, there are four categories of individuals who are excluded from Korban Pesach. Who are the... Well, we have already two. We have the Tomei and Derech Rechoka. Who are the other two? The other two are Orel. We'll see in a minute how Rashi interprets Orel. It's not the way you and I think of an Orel. And then there's something called the Ben Nechar. We'll see how Rashi interprets Ben Nechar. Dichsiv, the Torah says, V'chol Orel lo yochal, period. No. It doesn't say V'chol Orel lo yochal, period. It says V'chol Orel lo yochal bo. Right? Bo, the extra word bo. Bo is a classic mute. You know, when the Torah adds like a hey sometimes or an extra lamed, it's telling you this and not that. Here, the Torah adds the word bo to tell you this and not that. Bohu dieno ochel, aval ochel hu b'matza umaror. What this means is that the Orel, although he's excluded from Korban Pesach, the Torah says he's only excluded from the Achilas Korban Pesach, but he's not excluded from another mitzvah, namely Achilas Matzah. So the Korban Pesach has a certain sanctity to it, right? It's kodshim, and Orel and kodshim are mutually exclusive. There's an antithetical, relationship between an Orel and the kodshim of Korban Pesach. But matzah has no kedusha to it, and the mitzvah of matzah will apply even to an Orel who's excluded from Korban Pesach. And now we're going to take Orel and use Orel as what we call a binyan av, meaning that Orel is now going to teach me something about all four categories, the balance of the other three categories, that if you're excluded from the Korban Pesach, that's because of the Kedushas HaKorban, but you're not excluded from the mitzvah of matzah, because matzah doesn't have Kedushas HaKorban. So let's read it again. I don't need a pasuk to tell you that these two categories of individuals are chayav and matzah, even though they're exempt from Pesach. Their status is not worse than that of an Orel ben Nechar, just like Orel ben Nechar are obligated in matzah, even though they're excluded from the Korban Pesach. So too, even though they're excluded from Pesach, they're chayav and matzah. I don't need a pasuk of Erev Tochlu Matzah to teach me that if you're excluded from Korban Pesach, you have an independent mitzvah of matzah. That I can derive from Orel. And how do I know it from Orel? Because it says Orel lo yochal bo, bo hu dion yochal avel ochel hu b'matzah umar. He's chayav in the mitzvah of matzah umar on the first night of Yontif. Meaning, he has the din of matzah, the chi of matzah, but even though he's excluded from the Korban Pesach. And that we can derive from the word bo. So Tomei v'shoye derech hakoka, even though they don't eat from the Korban Pesach, they still have a chiyuv of eating matzah. I don't need a separate pasuk to derive that conclusion. I can derive from an equation to Orel. Now Rabbo say, what is an Orel? Or who is an Orel? So you and I would say that an Orel is someone who's not circumcised. Well, the truth is, if he's not circumcised, then it's very possible that he comes under the category of a ben nechar. Okay, we'll have to see what a ben nechar is. So Orel, insofar as it's a separate category, can't be referring to someone who simply is uncircumcised. But rather, who's an Orel? So Rashi says, Orel shemesu echav machmas mila. What's that called? I think it's called hemophilia. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because afraid he was going to die from bleeding.
So if two of his brothers, according to one sheet, the three of his older brothers died never from bris mila, the blood doesn't clot. So we're not going to subject him to mila. So he's not a ben nechar. What's a ben nechar? Ben nechar is someone who's deliberate about violating the mitzvot of Hashem. When I say the mitzvot of Hashem, so if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says ben nechar mishumad shenisnaku me. May myself li aviv shepa shemayim v'lo l'kol haTorah. So in other words, there's many parts of the Torah that he observes, but certain parts of the Torah he rebels against, he refuses to observe, and he's deliberate about that rebellion. Again, Rashi wants to exclude what's called a mumar, because a mumar l'kol haTorah kula, if he violates the entire Torah, then He doesn't have any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Mumar is considered like a goy. Again, I don't want to get into that right now. You have to learn Masechta Chulin for that. But be that as it may, Rashi says there's a new category here called Ben Nechar. Ben Nechar is a Jew who's not a mumar. He observes the Torah, but nisnaku myself li ov shebashamayim. In certain mitzvahs of the Torah, he rejects. So let's say a person rejects the mitzvah of Mila and he refuses to subject himself to Mila. I'm not talking about a young child, but I'm saying even after he matures, if he makes that deliberate decision, then he becomes a ben nechar. So what does the Torah mean by Orel? It's going to have to be an Orel who's absolutely dedicated to the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, and he would certainly implement the mitzvah of Mila. So why is he an Orel? Because Mesu Echov Machmas Sam Mila. Now here I would ask you the following question. What exactly is the status of an Orel? Is an Orel chayav in the mitzvah of Mila? And he has the foreskin, so therefore he's an Orel? Or is an Orel not chayav in the mitzvah of Mila? If he's not chayav in the mitzvah of Mila, then lechora he's not an Orel. You know, an Orel is someone who's chayv in the mitzvah of Mila. Like, for example, Avraham Avinu, when did he circumcise himself? Before he got the mitzvah from Hashem or after he got the mitzvah from Hashem? Only after. So the Mefarshim asks, why, you know, it says that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim called Torah Kula. So why wasn't he Mekayim the mitzvah of Mila? So the answer is, because it's not arlus. What I mean, it's not arlus. There's no mitzvah of mila unless there's arlus. An arl is someone who's chayav in mila. So this man, getting back to our sugya of arl, mesu echav machmas ha mila, he luchor is not obligated in the mitzvah of mila. If he's not obligated in the mitzvah of mila, then he doesn't have arlus. If he doesn't have arlus, arlus is not just a piece of skin. It's not just a physical reality. Arlus is a chiyuv when there's a shame arel, and that means there's a mitzvah of mila. If there's a mitzvah of mila vis-a-vis this arlus, then it becomes a shame arel. It would seem from this Rashi, if you take a look at Tosis on the bottom, Pirush HaKuntres, the last Tosis, he says Mesu Echav Machmas HaMila. The Tosis says that Rashi classifies a person who's hemophiliac as someone who's an Orel. Ulepe Rusho, if you take Rashi, then Pasul Nami Letruma, right? There's a whole Sugi Yevamis based on Psukim in the Torah that a Kohen who's an Orel is not allowed to eat Truma. Yes. Well, let's say his brothers died Machmas Milo, according to Rashi, he cannot eat Truma because he's an Orel. And Tosis doesn't like this. Tosis says that if he's Mesu Achiv Machmas HaMila, that doesn't make him into an Orel. Right? And he's not an Orel if he doesn't have the mitzvah of Mila. Do you follow? That's what Tosis thinks. But Rashi thinks, no, that an Orel is Chayav in Mila, even if it's Mesu Achiv Machmas HaMila, but he cannot fulfill the mitzvah mila because his life is in danger. But there's still a chiyuv of mila. And if there's a chiyuv of mila and he doesn't remove that arla, then it becomes an arel. And there are two nafkiminas. This person cannot eat from the carbon pesach. And number two, this person cannot eat from truma if he's a kohen. But Tosa seems to assume that this Jew who's Nebuch from a hemophiliac family he's potter from the mitzvah of Mila. He's not a bar chiyuva. He doesn't have a shame of Orel. So Tosu is going to have to come up with another alternative definition of who and what is an Orel. In any event, let's just summarize what we learned in the last piece. We have Rabbi Shimon, who counters, I don't need Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos for the case of Tomei V'Hayish B'Terech Choka, because I'm going to derive Tomei V'Terech Choka and the independent mitzvah of Matzah, meaning independent of Pesach, from the Pasuk Kol Orel Lo Yochal Bo. For Rabbi Yehuda takes the Pasuk Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos, and he derives from that pasuk that Tomei V'Hashoyer Derech Rechoka will be chayiv in the midst of matzah. Why didn't he derive that from an orel? So the answer is k'siv b'hai u'k'siv b'hai. Rashi says that the Torah wanted to write this twice. K'siv b'hai orel u'ben nechar u'k'siv Tomei V'Hashoyer Derech Rechoka d'lechol matzah. The Torah wants to obligate matzah both from the Oral of Ben Nechar, and the Torah is going to again repeat that a Tomei V'Hayu B'Derech Choka is Chayev in the mitzvah of Matzah. That's called the language of the Shas, K'siv Bahai, U'K'siv Bahai. So sometimes the Torah repeats itself. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell you why the Torah has to repeat itself. Later on, the Gemara is going to say U'Tzrichi, that we need a special pasuk for each one of them. Right now, the Gemara doesn't address this question why we need both. One pasuk for Tomei V'Hayu B'Derech Rechoka, and another pasuk for Orel and Ben Nech. And now, Rabosa, we get to the apex, the climax of this entire sugya. Mani Masnisa. Now that we've studied all the different shitas, we have machlokes shin Rav Yudim Rav Shimon about chometz lifnei zmano and chometz liachar zmano. We have machlokes shin Rav Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanon as to whether chometz bepesach is also mano. Who wrote our Mishnah? So Rav Yossi, in order to appreciate this next little piece of Gemara, we have to open up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on the bottom of Chof Ches Amid Aleph, the other side of the page, and it says that Chomet Shal Nachri Shal Avol of a Pesach Mutar Bano V'Shal Yisrael Asur Bano, etc. So Mani Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, Chomet Stomach Amar. Rabbi Yehuda says that we have a special lav. If you remember, Rabbi Yehuda had three psukim, and one of them was teaching us Chomet Shavol of a Pesach. That Chomet that passed over Pesach is also after the Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda never differentiated between the ownership of the Chomet in the possession of the Israel or the ownership of the Chomet in the possession of the Goy. Is Afilu de Nachri. So why does the Mishnah say that Chomet Shal Nachri Shavol of a Pesach Mutar? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be Asur. The E, Rabbi Shimon. And if you're going to tell me that the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, now we turn to Daf, Chav Tesam and Aleph, is the Israel Nami Mishri Shari. Even if the Chametz was owned by a Jew over Pesach, nevertheless, there's no Issa for Chametz over Pesach. Rabbi Shimon never had a special lav for Chametz over Pesach. Oh, but we have a third time in the Brice. So that's Rabbi Yossi Agli. But the Rabbi Yossi Agli, Afilu Tots Manu Nami Mishri Shari Bano. Like the Mishnah says, after Pesach you're allowed to have Hano. But during Pesach it's also Bano. According to Rabbi Yossi Agli, Chametz be Pesach, even during the Chag is Mutu Bano. Omer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Li'olam, Rabbi Yehudi. Our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And even though the Chametz of a Goy after Pesach is overall of a Pesach, but nevertheless, that's not Osir. Why not? The Yolif Siar de Achila mi Siar de Re'iya. Now, Siar de Re'iya means Lo Yirolach Asa'ar. And Lo Yirolach Asa'ar means that it's your Sa'ar. You own this Chametz. And you're not allowed to be in possession of your Chametz, right? Your Chametz. And then we have Siar de Achila. Right, the Torah says that lo yochal kol siyar, that you're not allowed to eat siyar. It means siyar is chametz. Ma siyar de re'iya. When are you in violation of re'iya because you see the chametz in your possession? That's only shalcha. That's only if you own the chametz. Shalcha iyat haroeh. But as far as re'iya shalachir v'aval toroeh shalachem shalgavah, if it's not yours, it belongs to goyim or it belongs to hekdesh. Is then you don't violate by your Rabbi Matzis Afsiyar de Achila, so too with regard to the Isa Achila's Chametz, it's only Chametz that Shalcha, Iyata Ochel, Amalata Ochel, Shalachirim, Vishal Gavoah. But if this Chametz was owned by a Goy, you're allowed to eat it after Pesach. Now here you have a Tosfos, Dibra Maschil, Bidin. And what we said until now is Rashi Shita, that Rashi holds that on Pesach you're allowed to eat chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda. If the chametz is owned by whom? By a guy. Can you imagine, Rabosai? Your Italian pizzeria, right, invites you to eat a pizza on Pesach. Can you eat the pizza according to the Torah law? You're allowed to eat the pizza. Why? Because it's owned by a guy. So Tosis has like a tin. What?
I like that one.
Yeah, you can eat that one, right? That's good. You know, wow. We now, forget about being a Sephardi and eating rice. I can be an Ashkenazi and be a Rabbi Yehuda fan and eat pizza on Pesach as long as it's owned by Billy the Italian. You know what I'm saying? It's not mine. I don't own it. And we have a hekesh now between Sar de Re'iya and Sar de Achila. And Sar de Re'iya, you're not allowed to see because it's yours. So too, Sar de Achila, you're not allowed to eat because it's yours. And that's how Rashi learns this sukkah. Now, Tosfos raises a technical problem on Rashi. How can you have Chomet Shal Nachri and you're eating it? The very moment he allows you to eat it, you become the owner of the Chomet. So that he has to, I call it a logistical problem against Rashi. But the other Rishonim, and even Tosfos seems to indicate that there's a more fundamental problem here. How can it be that the Torah allows you to eat Chomet on Pesach just because it's owned by a goy? So therefore, Tosfos has to come up with another interpretation, and he says that if the Chomet is owned by a goy, you're allowed to have Hana from that Chomet. That's what we're going to derive from this Hekesh of Sa'ar de Re'iya, Sa'ar de Achila. That you're allowed to have Hanah from Chametz that belongs to a guy on Pesach. Again, this is all on a Deraisa level, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Chomei shel Nochri she'ovel of a Pesach mutar b'ano. Why? Because Chomei shel Nochri is mutar b'ano in general, even on Pesach. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, so why did you have to tell me that Chomei is mutar b'ano after Pesach because it was owned by a goy? Tell me a bigger chiddush that's mutar b'ano on Pesach. That's going to be the next Gemara. Again, you're going to have to see how to interpret the word achila, because according to Rashi, the word achila should be taken literally. According to Tosus, the word achila here is a reference to hanah. So the Gemara is now going to apply the principle of Aidi Tani Reisha, Tani Seifa, which is just a technical literary kind of rule that sometimes the Mishnah borrows a term from a previous section of the Mishnah, but really it should have used a different terminology. So Rabosa, at the end of the day, what we have is an amazing machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda on a deraisa level. Are you allowed to eat chametz that belongs to a guy on Pesach? And the mind-boggling chiddush here, according to Rashi, is that Rabbi Yehuda would allow it on a deraisa level because of the hekesh to sa'ar d'ri'iyah. You don't violate sa'ar d'ri'iyah if it belongs to a guy. You don't violate sa'ar d'achila if it belongs to a guy. And you're allowed to eat the chametz of a guy. I mean, Tosfos has a logistic problem. How can it be the chametz of a guy once he allows you to eat it? And we're going to have to solve that problem according to Rashi. Tosfos, on the other hand, rejects Rashi. He holds that this equation is not going to tell me that you're allowed to eat chametz of a guy on Pesach, but rather you're allowed to benefit from the chametz of a guy. So I could have hanah from the chametz of a guy, but I'm not allowed to eat the chametz of a guy. So B'li Neder, we'll make a note where we got up to. Maybe I'll borrow your pencil for a second. And keep in mind that tomorrow we have to go through this principle called Aidi D'Tani, and we have to go through Rashi and Tosfos. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is four lines down from the top. It says Af Ba'Achila. You see those two words? Those are the words you want to underline. Af Ba'Achila Ba'Filu BePesach. So you're allowed to eat the chametz of a guy even on Pesach. Min HaTorah, again on a deraisa level. The Rabbanan will take care of us later, but on a deraisa level, it's mutar. And then we have to come to this Tosfos Dibra Maschil B'Din, and that's what we want to cover Mitzshem tomorrow. Okay, then? Yes. We'll stop here.